If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 2, very first verses of chapter 2, and I want to give you a little background before I read. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote two letters to his apprentice, to his protege, to his disciple, Timothy. And I use those words strategically, intentionally. A protege, a disciple, an apprentice. When we think of Jesus' disciples, we think of those guys who followed him around. We don't use the word disciple much in our culture today. The word that is more familiar to us, that is far more in line with what the disciples were actually doing, is the word apprentice. They followed Jesus to watch Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus, so that when Jesus released them into the world, they were doing just the things he was doing. That's what an apprentice does, right? They come under somebody to learn how to do something just like the person teaching them. And eventually that person, that mentor, that trainer releases them to go and do just what they were doing. So we have Jesus' disciples, we call them apprentices. Timothy was Paul's disciple, Paul's apprentice. What Timothy did is he followed Paul around on his missionary journeys. He watched how Paul preached. He watched how Paul taught. He watched how Paul led. And Paul gave Timothy opportunities to practice and eventually released Timothy to go and take some apprentices of his own and to plant a church. And the letters that we have, 1 and 2 Timothy, are two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him, to remind him of the lessons he had learned. Paul had heard from some others what was going on in Timothy's churches, and so Paul, being a good friend, a good mentor, wanted to send these letters to Timothy to remind him what he had learned. And as we read, beginning in chapter 2, we read that, you know, in 1 Timothy, it really is kind of the first letter that Timothy got. Paul goes over the basics, the most foundational principles he wants Timothy to remember, to not forget. If you're going to lead a church, if you're going to follow Jesus, here's what you have to remember. And so these are Paul's words to Timothy, but they're also words to us. Paul writes, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked out by godliness and dignity." I like that. Paul was reminding Timothy to pray for everybody, not just your church, to pray for everybody, especially those in authority. You know, we pray for our president, we pray for the military, we pray for our Congress, all of our leaders, local and national, all across the globe. And we pray for them that they would use wisdom, that they would make wise decisions, hoping that God works in their lives to lead to our own peaceful lives. Isn't that one of our hopes and goals in that? But we're going to read in just a second that Paul also had an ulterior motive in the prayers. What leads to peaceful, wise decisions? Let's read. He says, "This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." So we see real quick, what was Paul encouraging Timothy to pray? Not only for their wisdom, for their well-being, but that they might be saved. That they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That they would know this next line, "For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." So Paul was reminding Timothy and all of those in Timothy's church to pray for your leaders so that they might come to know Christ, because this movement is brand new. Most of the people in the cities where Timothy was leading not only didn't know Jesus, they probably didn't even know this Jewish God from which Jesus and the way, they called it, this Christian movement, sprang from. And Paul was saying, pray for them. Take an opportunity to share Jesus with them. Show them, because God wants everyone to be saved. And if you want peaceful, good lives, it's the kingdom of God that comes. It's that wise decision that comes from following Jesus. That's what I want you to pray. And so he writes this, there is only one God and one mediator between God and man. It is the man Christ Jesus. And then he goes to say this. He gave his life, speaking of Jesus, to purchase freedom for everyone. The message of salvation, this good news, is not limited to anyone. It's for everyone. This is the message God gave the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just telling the truth. So that was Paul's encouragement to Timothy and to us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we have been answering questions all throughout this summer. That's been our message series. I have a question, and a lot of you got to submit questions. And one of the questions that came in that we're going to talk about today is, what about all the other religions? What about all the other religions? Self-identifying Christians make up about 2.3 billion people across our globe of 8 billion now. I mean, it's growing at a staggering rate. So we make up about a quarter, maybe a little bit more, of all humanity. So what about everybody else? What happens to them? If this scripture is true, what happens to them? And so I need to make a confession as we enter into some touchy, deep waters. I need to let you know who you're learning this from today. You are learning this from a man who failed Intro to Christian Ministries in his college career. I failed it. I failed Intro to Christian Ministries. And so I make this confession to you because I want you to know why I failed it. I failed Intro to Christian Ministries not because I wasn't smart enough. Now, I mean, you can make that assumption. But truth be told, I got a B plus. I got a B plus in the class. When it came to taking the tests, when it came to writing the papers, when it came to doing all of the quizzes, if you add them all up, I got a B plus. The problem is the professor had a rule for his class that you were allowed to miss 3 classes. And every class after 3, you got docked a third of a letter grade. And so even though I got a B plus, my 11 or 12 absences amounted to a failing grade. Yes, so, I mean, honestly, to a degree, I'm kind of tooting my own horn. I miss a third of the classes and I still got a B plus. But on the other hand, you know, I share all of that to remind you and to remind me that ultimately, in that classroom, I wasn't the authority. The professor laid out the rules. And I didn't meet up with the rules of the professor. I had all of the work, but I didn't attend the classes. And therefore, I failed. And I went and argued my case to him. I said, this isn't right. This isn't fair. And he said, you should have read the syllabus. That's how it works. I laid out the rules. You chose not to follow them. You could have gotten 100 on everything. But you missed the classes. You know, when I signed up for that class, I placed myself under his authority. And so he was the one who got to call the shots. There's a lot of ways that works in our lives, isn't it? I don't get to call the shots when it comes to driving down the highway. I'd like to. I'd like to go super fast and tell everybody to get out of my way. I don't get to call those shots. As we live in this country, in this community, there are those that have authority over me. And if I don't like their authority, my option is to face the consequences or move. That's how it works. When it comes to this question of what about other religions, I need you to know that I have no clue what God's going to do. I have no empirical evidence that I can show you, that I can lay out and say, this is exactly what happens after death. This is who is saved, and this is who's not saved. You know, I can't do that. I wish I could. Don't you wish you could look behind the curtain and see how it all works? How many of us wish we could be God and get to make all of those decisions? And yet, I'm not here to tell you what is going to happen. I don't know by fact. I know by faith. Because I have chosen, and I'm going to make an assumption by a lot of you, that you've chosen, or at least you're interested in choosing, to be a Jesus follower. To be an apprentice of Jesus. That's what a Jesus follower is. That's what a Christian is. And so I'm not telling you what I know for fact. I'm telling you this morning what I know by faith. What Jesus has shared, what the church has passed down over the centuries and over the millennia on this question about what about all other religions. And that's really important to know. Because I don't know. I just have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and so I'm going to do what he says. These aren't my answers from Scripture. These are Jesus' answers. And I've placed myself under his authority. And so I believe, just like we talked about with Scripture, I don't believe the Bible because it's right. I believe the Bible because Jesus did. And if Jesus did it, I do it. Does that make sense? So that's my bar on this. And that's important for you to know. And what I know is throughout the history of the church, we have recognized that there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ. That's it. Paul says it. In 1 Timothy 2:5, if you want to commit a scripture to memory, that's a good one to commit to memory. It's a good reminder. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the person Jesus Christ. That's what it boils down to. That's what Jesus believed. In fact, he even said it himself. He said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those were Jesus' words. And so since Jesus said it, I choose to believe it because I've placed myself under his authority. I am a Jesus follower. Jesus didn't say there are many ways. He said, I am the way. In Matthew 7, he put it this way. There is a road that is wide and easy and many travel it. And yet there is this narrow road that is not easy and few travel it. I am the narrow way. That's Jesus' words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I can't condemn anybody else. I want you to be aware that you don't have that power. I don't have that power. I can't send anybody to hell as much as I want to think I can sometimes. And I also can't save anybody. I can just follow Jesus for me and repeat what he says. I'm not the way, he's the way. I don't decide, he decides. That's the authority I've placed myself under as a follower of Jesus. And so I want to give you 3 points, and if you've got your bulletin, you've got a little white sheet of paper in there. Those 3 points are on this sheet of paper. It's a summation of our sermon today. There are some discussion questions underneath that. If you'd like to have a good lunch topic, or to carry this out in a small group, you can. Here are some questions, and on the back of that sheet are some devotions for this week. But here are the 3 points I want you to hear. And the first one is this, and it's going to be up there as well. There's some tongue twisters today. I don't determine the way. I decide if I will follow the way all the way. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I don't determine the way. I determine if I will follow the way, all the way. That's what it means to be a Jesus follower. I don't get to decide what's right and wrong. I decide if I will follow Jesus, and not just follow Jesus, but follow Jesus all of the way. A lot of the times the church gets really excited and we so focus on people coming to Jesus, walking through that door, starting this journey. We have these, you know, altar calls and we hope people will surrender their lives to Jesus. And that is fantastic. That is incredible. That is an essential first step. But that first step is not what it means to be a Jesus follower. that is just the first step in a journey following the one who is the way, and we're called to follow that one all of the way. And so if I take a first step on a trail and it's hot out and it gets difficult and I decide I'm going to park myself here and just stop, I'm no longer following the way. To follow the way requires us to go all the way. Holiness. Perfect obedience. And the crazy thing as a Methodist, if you're not aware of this, is that we, as followers of John Wesley as well, believe it's possible to go all the way with Jesus. Possible in this life. To no longer have any temptation to sin. Not to get everything right, to always know the right answer, but to no longer be pulled by the power of sin. That's all the way. And that's what Jesus asks of us. I don't determine the way. I decide if I will follow the way, all of the way, to keep following. And here's the next thing we got to know. If at any point my way doesn't match the way, I'm going the wrong way. That's important to recognize, because we don't often think about that, because we live in an individualistic culture that uses our own determination of what is right and wrong. I get to decide if something is right or wrong for me, and so I mark my way. But if we're a follower of Jesus, what we're saying is, if at any point my way doesn't match the way, I'm the one who's wrong. I'm the one who's wrong. And that's a hard thing for us to do sometimes, isn't it? To admit, to confess is the biblical church word we use, to confess that I don't line up exactly with Jesus, and that's a problem for me. Now, the great thing about Jesus, the great thing about the grace of our God is if you confess and you get back in line, that's what it means to repent. If you confess of your sins, to repent of your sins, it means to get back on track. He is gracious and eager to forgive. He won't hold it against us. But we got to get back on track. And so if at any point my way doesn't match the way, I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that's wrong. And this is important when we talk about other religions. Why? Because Timothy, because Paul, because all of them, because of Jesus, when they were talking about other gods, they weren't just talking about, let's say, Muslims or Jewish people or Confucius, Hindu, all of those other religions. They were talking about you and me, the average person in that culture who had these little stone or wooden idols, or they worshiped Zeus, or they worshiped Caesar. They had all of these things that they worshiped, and what they ultimately worshiped, and the issue you and I often have, is they didn't just worship these things, they worshiped themselves. They were the deciders. They were the leaders. When we decide for ourselves, what we are doing is saying, my authority is equal to or greater than God's for my life. I get to decide for myself. I am my own God. And Jesus says, you can't be your own God, make your own decisions, and call me God. I'm either the way or I'm not. And so when my way doesn't match the way, I'm the one that's wrong. But God is gracious, and he invites us to repent and get back on the way. And we need each other for this process. Here's the last point. Sharing the way is the only way those going the wrong way will know the way. Did you hear that? You might need to read it or put your eyes up there. I could really challenge you and make it say it 5 times fast. You ready? But this is good stuff to think about. Sharing the way. Telling others about the way. Letting them purposely look into your life and see you on the way is the only way those going the wrong way will know the way. If it wasn't for wrong way signs and traffic coming the opposite direction, how would you know if you're in the wrong lane? We need those signs. We need people going the other way, communicating with us, talking to us. You and I, it's not optional to share our faith. There is no such thing as a private faith in Jesus Christ. That's not what Jesus was like. It's a requirement. It's actually a natural outgrowth of following the way. We are called to share our faith with all the world. Now, I'm not saying you get up in some pulpit and you start pounding your fist. Don't get a bullhorn and start standing on a street corner. We've got to be effective in what we're doing. Okay? An effective sharing of faith is loving somebody. Getting to know them, getting to know their context enough that you can look into their life, but more importantly, you're transparent enough that they can look into your life and you got something to talk about. Jesus. That's what it means to share our faith. And we're called to do it. And if we don't do it, those people will continue to go the wrong way, because if you're not going to tell them, who is? Now, I trust God. In the end, I trust God. But if I'm a follower of Jesus, this is what he communicates to us. This is what Jesus says. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying this is the religion of Matt Morris. I'm saying this is what the church has always taught. This is what Jesus taught. Sharing the way is the only way. Those going the wrong way will ever know the way. And so our lunch is getting cold. But I got to give you something to do. Last week I passed out these little cards. It's called All In. They say, hold me to the highest standard and love me enough to help me get there. And I want to address just for a minute a couple questions. Hold me to the highest standard. That's the way. That's Jesus. There are no degrees of Jesus. I'm either with Jesus or I'm not with Jesus. There's no partial credit. If I'm a follower of Jesus, this is it. It is the highest standard. And it requires transparency. At least transparency within the group of people holding you accountable. It requires being open so others can help you see if you're going the wrong way. Have you ever done anything with the best of intentions that you thought was absolutely right and in the end found out it was absolutely wrong? Some of you know his or her name because you never meant to get divorced, but you sure went into it with the best of intentions. And you know what would have helped you? And you know what would have helped me? Because I, too, am a divorced individual. If I would have been more open and transparent with my life and allowed people to speak truth into my life as I shared life with them. But I wanted something, and I thought this was the best way to go. And so if you are all in, if you're a follower of Jesus, we become transparent so that others can help us. And we become transparent so that I can help others, so that you can help others. I want you to see in my life, because something going on in my life might help you in your life. And if I hide it, and I hide in this protective faith, how are you ever going to know it? And if I come over to you and I tell you, this is what you're supposed to do, but you don't see it in my life, what are you going to do? Hypocrite, you don't do it. You know, that's what we do. And so we live transparently. Not for pride, not to boast. Because folks, if that's a problem, you're doing the wrong thing. You're not going the right way. It's for love and compassion. And so if this Jesus thing is new to you, I want you to know this is what it means. Don't let someone fool you to believe that you can just say a prayer and you're good to go. That's nowhere in Scripture. Come to Jesus knowing what Jesus asks. Come to Jesus knowing that he promises the Holy Spirit to fill you and strengthen you and help you trust him so that you can fall into his arms even when it's scary. But if you are a follower of Jesus, if that is an identity you claim, I need you to know. We don't have any other options. And here's the last thing I need you to know. I don't judge you. I might be the pastor, but I don't have all that much power. I can't send you to hell. And I can promise you, I ain't kicking you out of the church. I offer you this because I think it'll be helpful for you. I offer you this all in because I think it'll be helpful for us to take that next step with Jesus. You don't want to do it, that's on you. I'll still love you most of the time. I just want to help everyone take a next step with Jesus. And I want to ask you, what's your next step? Might be scary. Might be uncomfortable. But it's only when we follow him that we're going the right way. Amen.